D1, number 15B.
Yes. Well, having said so much on what she meant and what I feel she meant as the law of life, truth, and love, and especially having shown, see, that this is not a religious discovery, but that it is a discovery of a new sense of science itself, a completely new sense of science itself. And having seen that, since she has seen that, towards the end of the last century, that that has overturned and overturned all the lines of thinking in the world, all the various sciences in the world. And that's Christian Science. Not the Christian Scientists who read the Quarterly. That's Christian Science. That which is in the world, that new law of life, truth, and love, which was able to show to the thinkers in the world, in every branch of science, that their concept of science has come to an end, that it is a deficient sense of science, and not a right, efficient sense of science. And through breaking down within itself as a concept of a grand design, they are ready now to reinvestigate the meaning of science, the purpose of science, the aim of science, and find that they must conform to the law of life or spontaneity, to the law of truth or self-revelation, to the law of love or the law of transparency and integration. That then, if those factors are constituting the meaning of science, that then the age will go forward again a terrific step. We begin to realize in this way, you see, that science is so much bigger than a denomination. And as always, hidden in a cradle. Nobody sees it. Nobody would call that Christian Science, but it is. It is Christian Science. And it comes to the forefront more and more. And now, let us see how these three concepts of life, truth, and love can combine. In the word, you have there the combination of life, truth, and love, with the accent on life. The accent is on life, on the first. And life, truth, and love there, we must always consider as one concept, not as three succeeding or three concepts in succession. They don't form a sequence. They are one. And what do they mean, these three in one? Mr. Dorley, in the report on Oxford 47-49, epitomized this as life, he said, that's the creative urge. The creative urge, the word. But it is not only the creative urge, but we can see what it is doing, namely that brings out something which is factual, truth, which is the divine fact. And third, love, because it is integrated into the whole, it leads to fulfillment, or better, it is fulfilled. It has within itself fulfillment. So life, truth, and love is that which is the creative urge, which is the facts, and bring to light the facts about everything, and those facts are already fulfilled. Love. It is what the Bible would call let there be in the first record of creation. See, God said, let there be. It shows that really we can see that from everlasting to everlasting, life, the eternal Creator, is always manifesting itself out of itself. And that which is manifested is factual. It's a true fact about everything. And that fact is a fulfilled fact. It's not just a tentative creation or a specialized creation. It's always, no, specialized is not the right term. I didn't find it. It's not an incomplete or a purposeless creation, but it is a creation that has purpose, that has in itself a fulfilled plan, that is bringing forth that whole plan. Well, we can word this in many ways, you see, as long as we keep in mind constantly that life is the eternal creator, the eternal urge, the eternal impulsion. See, that something is always saying, let there be, let there be, let there be. It's that law of spontaneity which always says again, the origin is made manifest, let there be is made manifest as was, as the true facts of being, and these true facts of being are always fulfilled. In this way, you see, we feel how dynamic this plane of Christian Science is. See, on the plane of divine science, you didn't feel so much the dynamic as, so to say, the peace and the realm and the atmosphere. What just said, I'm one life. I'm the self-existent life. I'm one truth. See, I'm the truth itself. It wasn't so much a dynamic in there. But now, when we come to the plane of absolute Christian Science, we are interested to know what that one life is doing. What is the infinite individuality of that life? How that infinite individuality expresses itself in factual being, in actual being. And so we get the sense which already the prophets must have caught, which says, there is in being that tremendous urge where life says, all right, I'm not only self-existent, I also express that self-existence constantly, constantly, constantly. I exist infinitely. And so we have a constant divine urge, a constant divine impulsion in being that brings out always the facts of being. The divine facts of being, truth. And those divine facts of being are only already complete in themselves. They don't have to work out something at the end, but they are already complete in themselves. This sense of life, truth and love is very practical for us. Why? Because it says that there is infinite progression in being. That's life, truth and love. That infinite progression as concrete being, concrete, factual, integrated into being. And what does it mean to us today and from now on? A terrific liberation again. It says to us, you know, all what has happened yesterday and before is of no influence of what happens now. We have been falsely cultured into thinking in terms of cause and effect, that what we have done yesterday will suffer today. What we have done good yesterday we will have the reward today. And woe to me what I do today, because I must suffer it tomorrow. This is the old law, brutal law of cause and effect. Now, when I see that being is built quite differently, that being says, I'm life. Every moment I'm a new life. Every moment I bring forth the true facts, truth. And those true facts are complete and fulfilled and consummated. Then I get the feeling I have never to look back. Then I haven't to think, because of what has gone on in the past, that must have its effect on the now. I free myself completely from the past. And I can see that what has gone on in the past was the past and has no connection with the now. Therefore, that what has gone on in the past is no fact for the now. Cannot play a factor in the now. Nothing that has gone on in the past is a factor in the now. Nothing. Because the now is the presence of the divine origin made manifest. The now is not the manifestation of what has been going on yesterday. It's divine origin in presence. That's the now. And so every moment is a new moment. Every moment is a new life. Every moment is a new start. There is no hangover from the past. So I like to think about these stones over and over. I just go around the streets or in the tram or bus, you would say here, and I just feel, well, I'm living in the eternal now. But not only in the eternal now, I live in the eternal impulsion of that nowness. Therefore, that nowness is bringing out completely new facts into my thought, into my consciousness. Is working so that new calculations of ideas are working for me universally. The infinite impulsion of the one life of divine science manifests itself on the plane of absolute Christian science as that one life which is universal and therefore brings together all the facts of being as my integrated individuality. And I just feel that I'm embedded in that infinite impulsion of life. And I just said, all right, let there be. Let it happen. And the less I resist it, the less I say, no, I would like this and this to happen. I would like this and this to be demonstrated. The more I do that, the more I close my doors. You see, that's the great change that is coming. The rational age has brought forth many wonderful wonders and a lot of trouble. And the biggest trouble it has brought about is that we are no more open for the divine source. The rational age has said, you can think out everything by yourself. It's all a question how clever you are. And the cleverer you are, the better you can think out things all by yourself. So work hard, study hard, and you think things out by yourself. You know how to master your life. You know how to do things. You know. No. We don't know. There's only one knowing. And that's being itself. And I can be that knowing. I can be that divine knowing in expression if I don't try to know by myself. If I am willing to open up my consciousness completely to that primary knowledge of the divine mind, then I know that I know. Not before. This world must change their sense of living. We come to the next truth, life and love in the Christ. You see there that the combination is different. It starts now with truth, life and love. Why? We shouldn't try to memorize this and say, well, Mrs. Eddy or John Dawley said so and they must have known it, and so I memorize it. So when I think from the standpoint of the Christ, I must think from truth and then to life and to love. No. We must see the atmosphere of it, the purpose of it, the reason of it. What is it? From where are we coming? We are coming from divine science. And the Christ in divine science just said to us, I am the one truth, you know, on top of the level. And if, as it translates itself to the plane of absolute Christian science, that one truth says, I am the truth of all. You see, now, in absolute Christian science, we said, it's the relationship of principle and idea. So it's the relationship of the one truth to all the infinite truths. So truth, as the Christ says, I am the one truth. And this one truth really expresses itself in infinite individual truths. So that we get the individuality of truth, which is life. See, which is symbolized by life. So here we feel, oh, the Christ power, the Christ consciousness is conscious not only of its wholeness, as in divine science, but is also conscious of every true fact, of every specific fact in being, of every individual fact of being. See, now we come to knowing the specific truth, which is individual. And each individual fact is consummated. Love. So the accent again is on truth. Life and love are secondary. The truth that says, I am the one truth. But that truth is the truth about everything. So I can know the truth about everything. Therefore, yesterday we had at this point also mind reading, because mind reading is truth knowing that which lie, which before was hidden in the subconscious and in the unconscious, and brings every fact out of the unconscious and subconscious into the conscious. Can you see that this is the method of revelation? The new method of knowing the truth, the new method of finding the truth. Here it is no more the old sense of finding the truth by studying, acquiring knowledge. Here it is being open to the influx of the one truth which brings out the individual truth, which is adapted, love, adapted to the situation. You know love as that where everything is adapted into the in the whole. Can you see the magnitude of this thing? That we can now see that truth which already from eternity to eternity knows itself as a whole is Christian, translates itself to Christian science, absolute Christian science, is Christian because it says, I can show you the truth that you need right now in a specific case and which is adapted to the solution of that case where you are in. Truth, life, love. Quite a different method. It's a divine method. and one stands somehow on holy ground and feels one has to have clean feet to stand on it. Because only purity is able to receive that influx of truth. So we see here how truth, the one consciousness, the one ideal, always expresses itself as individual ideals, as ideal ideas. What would be the use, say, of seeing that truth is health and wholeness, if I couldn't see that that health and wholeness is infinitely individualized as wholeness and health everywhere? As wholeness in family, wholeness in relationship, wholeness in business, wholeness in body, wholeness in mentality. Therefore, wholeness, as the one ideal of wholeness, is now individualized through life. Life says, I express that wholeness infinitely. And the infinite individuality, therefore I express that wholeness or ideal infinitely, and in infinite individual ways. And so each one can have his individual wholeness, which he needs at that very moment, adapted, because it's love, adapted to his proposition. I don't need, say, wholeness in the business when my business is already whole, and my body is not whole. So it must be adapted individually to the proposition in which I am in. Can you see that? Who does that? We try to think it out ourselves. Why? If there is a bigger mind than our mind, if principle is his own infinite mind, then let this principle be its own infinite mind and know what is right for me, adapted for me. And so if I can culture that law, then it precipitates itself on a situation by individualizing the wholeness of truth, the ideal of truth, to that individual point where it is of the nature of love, namely adapted to the situation. Only then something is perfect, when it is adapted to the situation. What's the use of having a perfect Rolls-Royce if I can't use it? If I need a mini minor, because I cannot park a Rolls-Royce in the town, so I need a mini minor. I don't have a mini minor, but I mean, see. So a perfect car would be a Rolls-Royce, and it's a wonderful car, but it wouldn't be the demonstration, because it isn't adapted to the use. It wouldn't fit into my being. And so, this is an illustration right after of the human, but that's the way how being is construed, is built up. That's the structure of being. That truth is so infinitely true and knows its truth so infinitely that it is of the nature of the individuality of life, of infinite individuality of life. But not only individuality, it's love. It's so individual that it consummates the purpose for which it is destined to work. It's a sense of consummation of that truth which we get here. In practice, this is very necessary to see, because I think this gives us a sense that we don't have to give so much any more individual treatments. As I said already on the plane of divine science, that it is the one truth, which just is the truth itself. Therefore, wholeness. And this truth is individualized infinitely. So all what I can do, and that's pretty much, is just to see here that one truth that one consciousness of truth is conscious of every situation. That truth is conscious of every individual situation. Not I am conscious of every patient and what he needs and what he has to be healed of, but that one truth, because it is individualized, it knows the individual need of each one, of each situation. That truth knows it, and that truth fulfills it, because it's of the nature of love. And so we feel a much bigger sense of giving a treatment. So here the Christ is a high sense of treatment. That treatment where I let truth be expressed in its individual and infinite individual forms of truth, and always consummated for the right purpose, for the right aim, within the right scheme or design